Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
No one can survive without hope. Hope is a necessity of life. In fact, the more desperate is your need, the more hopeless is the circumstance, the more despair, the more helplessness, the deeper when you sink into a hole, the more hope is needed. In fact, when thrown into the pit by his brothers, it was the rope of hope that got Joseph out of the pit and into his destiny. Do you need a rope of hope this morning? See, without hope, we die within, surely, slowly, but definitely. Because hope gives us the air to breathe. Hope gives you the wings to fly. Hope gives faith and love the second chance. In a bad relationship, for example, why try again? Well, because of hope. It is a hope that you have loved her or loved him before. You have believed him or believed her before. And you hope that this time it will work. It is hope. Hope makes all things work. It is the power of hope. I believe, I expect, I anticipate something good to come out of it. Of course, if you study the secular dictionary, Oxford Dictionary says it this way. He says, worldly hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen, or the ground for believing that something good may happen. You see, feeling and may are very indefinite and very vague words. But it is different from what biblical hope is all about. Because biblical hope is not just a feeling. It is not that it may happen, but it's to trust in, to wait for, to look for, to desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. The world's hope is hope so, wish, hopefully, maybe, but our hope is sure and steadfast in God. Our hope is more than desire. It is expecting confidently that it will happen. Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:11 is to have the full assurance of hope. Simply because God is not a man that he should lie, neither a man that he should repent, has he ever spoken and have he not do it? Or has he promised you and he has failed to act? Biblical hope is based on the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because in him we trust, in him we wait, in him we look for, we desire. He is the source, the purpose, the object of our faith and our hope. See, hope is a necessity. That's the first principle of hope. Hope is a necessity. Because when you have hope as a believer, you will be different in your life. You'll be different in your scope of life. You'll be different in your dimension. You'll be different in your values. See, hope changes the way we live, especially in our lifestyle, with our time, with our resources, with our talents, with our treasures. If we have the hope of God and we trust what God says, we will always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and his people. Biblical hope changes the perspective about life. Because when you have hope, you have the hopeful end in mind. We always say begin with the end in mind. I think it's not good enough to begin with the end in mind. It's to begin with the hopeful end in mind. Simply because Jesus says so. Because in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14, we have always quoted this scripture, but I love the later part of the verse which Pastor brought up. It's really powerful. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, this is the highlight. The highlight is, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, God says, you will find me. I will be found by you. Not I may be found by you. Maybe I hope to be there. You know, if you cry out louder, maybe I'll listen to you. It's, I will listen to you. You will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. Hope is a necessity of life. It changes everything. And it changes your values as well. It changes your values to know what is important and what is eternal. See, the world lives today like, you know, like this. Eat, drink, enjoy. I love food. I'm beginning to enjoy making food. I love it. I love to enjoy. I love to eat. I love to drink. But we do not eat and drink and enjoy as the world enjoy, because the world enjoys it with the perspective, with the end that tomorrow they will die. It only cares for today. But for us, we live with eternity in view. And knowing that the present is only a speck of eternity must give us a perspective that life is going to go on forever and forever for us. And so how we live today is very important. And I've got an illustration to show you how important it is to realize that we need to keep eternity in view. For what we live now is only for a moment. It's a really good illustration. I must go up here. See, the world lives life as though it's only for the present. They eat, drink, enjoy for the present. For tomorrow, they will die. So they only take care of their life like the life that is indicated by the yellow sticker here. Is only this short, but eternity is really, really long. It's really so long, but sometimes if we don't keep in view eternity and only live for that very short moment, we're going to miss life in the Lord. We're going to miss the abundant life and miss eternity as well. We need to keep in mind that our life in the Lord is eternal. And once we do that, when we have hope of that eternity, shows how long it is. When we have hope in that eternity, we will live life as the Lord wants us to live. So if we are going through a difficult time, Apostle Paul tells us, if your present moments are, you are having trouble, your present troubles are small and it won't last very long. Your present trouble are small and they won't last very long, as indicated by the yellow sticker. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Whatever we are facing now is this short, but the glory that God wants for us to have from the experience is vast, is long, is deep. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, fix your gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. When I go through a difficult time, of course, sometimes you get all wrapped up in this moment of intensity and difficulty. But I always tell God, I say, God, I'm going to go through this difficult time because I see that you've got something greater, something more lasting, something vast prepared for me. And I just go through with the Lord with that hope. Biblical hope changes the way you see yourselves because we are people of value. When you have hope, you see yourself as having value. What is the value? The value is that You are loved. You are forgiven. You are a child of God. You are a new creation. And God says to you, yes and amen to whatever you are asking Him and whatever He has promised you. Our hope in God will give us courage, comfort, endurance, strength, boldness, and confidence in Him. When your hope is in Him, then it will be as sure as the sun rising up tomorrow. But if your hope is on things, sometimes we can be disappointed, as the Bible warns us. So the second principle of hope is this, that you trust God, but not things. You trust God, but not things. The Old Testament word for hope is trust. And God doesn't want us to trust on things or people because they can be disappointing. We are also not to trust in riches because Proverbs 11:28 says, trust in your money and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. You flourish like leaves in spring when your eyes are not fixed on what is material. Don't trust in idols. Don't trust in foreign powers. Don't trust in military might. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in humans. Because in Jeremiah 17 verse 5 to 8 it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert and with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Trust God. Your roots go deep. Your leaves go green. Your trunk grows upright. Trust God, but not in things. And trust God. How do you trust God? You need to go into His Word. Because when you have His Word as your anchor, when you have His Word as your source, you will be able to increase in your trust of God. Psalm 119 verse 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Lord, you just give me one word. This year I've learned one word. Oh God, give me one word. 98.5 also ask us to do journaling by having one word a day. So I've been doing it faithfully. One word. One word from God's word is able to help you find God as your hiding place and as your shield. And Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before the dawning of the morning. I cry for help. I hope in your word. If things get tough, just go on your knees and ask the Lord, Lord, reveal to me your word and let that one word be your hope. Hope in the word. And you will see that God's word will come to you like energy, like joy. And your hope in Him and His promises increases. So number one, for hope, you need to realize that hope is a necessity of life. And the second thing is trust God, don't trust things. The third point is hope is the language of God. Hope is the language of God. God speaks hope. God is the God of all hope. So whatever He speaks hope. The Old Testament and the New Testament, which is the whole Word of God, are full of the perspectives of hope. If you want to know how to get hope, just go straight into the Bible, because the Old Testament and the New Testament are full of hope. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, when sin entered into humanity, we were told in Genesis 3:15, God says, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Full of hope, even though sin has entered into humanity. It was fulfilled when Jesus was born, when Jesus died, when Jesus resurrected. Bible tells us in Matthew 12:21, it says, in his name, in the name of Jesus, nations will hope. Simon, the righteous man in the temple, spoke of Jesus as the hope of Israel. Anna, the prophetess, also in the temple, spoke about Jesus, the hope of Israel. Paul, the apostle, spoke about Jesus as the hope of Israel. Jesus is the hope of Israel and the hope of mankind. Bible tells us in Acts 28:20, it says, for this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chains. Paul is the best person to talk about hope. And Paul is the best person to talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, because he was taught by a very good teacher. It was a very good Jewish teacher by the name of Gamaliel. And because of this, when you read Paul's teaching, you can understand the Old Testament by the way Paul teaches, because he was gifted. God saved him for that reason. He was so gifted in his Old Testament, because he was well taught. And he was so gifted in the New Testament because he was so well taught by the Holy Spirit, by the Father, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is a good person to look at for hope, and good person to read his writings for hope. See, a little bit of the history. In the early part of the Old Testament period, hope was very much centered on this world. The troubled ones to be delivered, the sick ones to recover from illness. But towards the end of the Old Testament, God's everlasting kingdom came into the picture. Like, for example, in Daniel, we were told during the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all the kingdoms into nothingness and it will stand forever. This is different. Old Testament focuses on the present, and the New Testament talks about the everlasting kingdom. The Old Testament talks about the first coming of Jesus, which he came historically. But the New Testament look for the second coming of Jesus. So we look for the second coming of Jesus. The Old Testament hopes for the kingdom of God to come. But for us, the New Testament, we hope to see the kingdom of God in full measure. The kingdom of God is already here, but we want to see it in full measure. And that's why it is beautiful to be a Christian now. Because you live in the tension of here and now, you also live in the tension of there and then. That's why we need to have faith. That's why we need to have hope to be able to live here and now and then anticipate what is coming, the coming kingdom of the Lord. At this point, our hope is more focused on the next world. And that's why Daniel 12:2-3 says, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. And God will swallow up death forever, Isaiah the prophet says. The dead will rise again. So our New Testament belief is in the future kingdom of God. And we, with faith and with hope, look forward to that coming. But you can't look forward to a coming that is not there. You need to have your faith and your hope to anticipate the words of the Lord in the second coming. The first mention of hope in the Old Testament is the book of Ruth, and is in the character of Naomi. Naomi lost everything dear to her. Lost her husband, lost her sons, and then now she's going to lose her daughters-in-law in the physical separation, because they're going to go back to their homeland. Naomi went out rich, strong, full of hope, for a better tomorrow and a better future in a time of famine at her homeland. But now she's returning poor, weak, with little or no hope. See, the story of Ruth happened in the time of Judges. It is a dark period in the time of Judges, where it is the lowest point or the darkest point of Israel's spiritual and political history. And the book of Ruth is so important. This is so good. So important. The book of Ruth, even though we read it like a story, you know, but in the scheme of things, in history, the book of Ruth is the story of bright hope. Bright hope to those who lost everything and think that God is against them. See, when we turn to God and hope in God, He can restore whatever the locusts have eaten. Naomi claimed that God had dealt bitterly with her. She even asked the people, "Don't call me Naomi. Naomi is too beautiful a name. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Malay say Mara, scold you. But for the Jewish meaning, it is bitter. Don't call me sweet. Call me bitter. I know some of you like dark chocolate. Bitter chocolate. It's not like that. It's bitter, bitter. It says, don't call me the sweet name. I don't deserve it. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. But the story ended with her recognizing God's provision for her. She blamed God for losing her two sons, but the Bible tells us that she praised Ruth as having seven sons. Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is better than seven sons. Even though she lost two sons, God gave her Ruth, the daughter-in-law, who is so faithful, who is better than seven sons. See, Naomi's hope of restoration began when she returned to her roots, her heritage, her homeland, and her faith in God. Biblical hope declares it is not over. All right, whatever you're going through, I don't know what you're going through at this time, but it is not over until God says so. It is not over until God says so. Hope says the best is yet to come. Because hope reverses loss to gain, tears to laughter, pain to joy, ashes to beauty, brokenness to hope. This is the power of God. Hope is given to you as the power of God to restore broken dreams, broken relationships, broken lives, and broken individuals. This morning, do we need restoration? We need to put our hope in our God and His promises. The other character is the person Job. Why do we call him Job? Why not Job? Steve Job. Steve Job. 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 Job in the Old Testament uses the word hope 17 times. In fact, Job is a book of hope. Even though Job did question about hope, you know, where is hope? What happened to hope? What's going to happen to me? And is there really hope? But for Job, his conclusion was this. After going through all the sufferings, the conclusion for Job is this. He says, though he slays me, I will hope in him. And he says, having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and you will rest in safety. You will be protected and you will rest in safety. So good to have hope. And hope is a given thing from the Lord. So let's ask Him for hope. See, when bad things happen to good people, and sometimes it does, hope in the goodness of God. During suffering and life storms, never give up. Never give in. Never lose hope in the faithfulness of God. When you are misunderstood or misjudged, hope in the righteous God. When God is silent, hold on to hope in Him and in His promises. Because hope in God assures us that He is in control. He is present. He is working behind the scenes. You can't see it, But God is working behind the scene. Remember, when you pray, He will listen. Something significant and good will come. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Amen. Amen. These few lines were so good. When misunderstood, misjudged, hope in the righteous God. When God is silent, hold on to hope in Him and His promises. Hope in God assures us that He's in control. He is present. He's working behind the scenes. Something significant and good will come. So good. And I would tell Pastor, I don't take things like that. I lift the whole thing, cut and paste, into a sermon that I'm going to preach on Chinese New Year in Singapore. So good. The life of God is there. When God is silent, hold on to Him. When you have been misunderstood or misjudged, hold on. Hope in Him. The next principle is this, that hope and faith are twins. Hope and faith are twins. They're not the same, but they are twins. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will eventually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith gives hope. Hope strengthens our faith. Without faith, hope is only a wish. But when we have hope, then our faith becomes powerful. So faith and hope are twins. I pray that you will develop this too in your life, because it's so good to have hope and faith in our lives. A person cannot have one without the other. They are twins. Faith comes before hope. So first of all, you must have faith. And then you have hope. Faith says, I believe. Hope says, I expect. See, so good to believe. And then expect. You don't just believe, have faith, but no hope. You don't want to just expect, but have no faith. Don't know what you're expecting. But if you can believe, and then you expect, then you have hope, and then you have faith. Faith says, now. I can see it now. I can see the vision now. Faith says, now. But hope says, in the future. Don't be impatient. It will come in the future. And that's why we've got to wait for it. We got to trust God for it. We got to long for it. We got to desire it. Faith says, I see. Hope says, it is yet to come. I can see. I can see the partner in my life. But hope will help you look for the partner. You can see in faith. When Henry was fasting for me, well, was fasting for a girl, he saw that goal in his vision, because he was fasting. And that hope drew him to me. Okay, all right. So faith sees, but hope is in the future. Yeah, that one is not in the script. Hope involves something that is unseen. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Paul tells us. And it is when we place our hope in a better life after the resurrection that we are known for our faith. If you read Hebrews 11, of all the women and the men in the hall of faith, it is not because they just have faith. They place their hope, their faith and their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Okay, I'm not sure about you, but at this time, I'm not sure whether you really know what faith is and what hope is. I'm going to help you make it a little bit clearer so that you can understand what is hope and faith, because I don't want you to confuse the two, because they are two very precious twin qualities that God wants us to have. Faith is when the father tells the kid, okay, tomorrow I'm going to bring you to the amusement park. So the faith of the child arises. Like, tomorrow I'm going to go to the amusement park. How do I know? Because my father says so. That's faith. Faith in a father. If the father is a reliable father, that word given to the child to go to the amusement park the next day would be faith. Right? But what the child needs to have is to have hope. And what he will do in waiting for tomorrow is like, he tells himself, tomorrow I'm going to the park. He doesn't need faith. He's already told by the Father he's going to the park, right? He needs hope. The hope, like, you, it's so good. So it's that hope. That's why it is good not to dampen people's hopes, you know. Sometimes our kids, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Sometimes we get impatient because, yeah, I already told you. You should have faith. I already told you that we are going to go there. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet? It's not faith. It is hope. So if you say, you better keep quiet or else we don't go anymore. You are dashing his what? His hope. Is his faith going to be dashed? No, you're going to still go there. But you dash his what? You dash his hope. Okay, so don't dash hope. Hope is a delightful thing. It's the twin of faith. You need hope. If you don't have hope, you don't look radiant. Like I am today. You know. See, my husband has traveled. This one is my own example. Because it's so good as sermon, you've got to respond, you know. So this is my response to pastor's sermon. My husband has been away for 12 days. Don't pity me. Because today is the 12th day. I have faith he will come back because he told me that he's going to come back today. But I've hoped for 12 days that he will come back. But today, my hope is at its highest. I got his car clean. I got his garden watered. After I'm going to buy sashimi for him. My hope gives me the energy and the strength to do something because I'm anticipating for that moment where I'll see him. That's how we can envisage the faith and the hope in God. God has spoken by faith. We know that he's coming. But what are we doing in the meantime to prepare for his second coming? That will be the radiance that you put into your spiritual lives to be able to wait for the return of our God. Abraham, there was no hope that Abraham would have children. But Abraham believed God and continued hoping, and so he became the father of many nations. His descendants also were too many to count. Abraham believed God. That's faith. But when Abraham desired, so many years, 15 years, I think, when he desired, longed for the son, expected, anticipated, because God promised that he is going to have a son, even though it's so many years, hope kept him alive. Faith and hope are twins, and they are very important. I pray that you will put your faith in God and that you will stay joyful as you wait for whatever God wants to put into your life. Believe God for something significant. Some of us, God has spoken to us something. Have faith in believing that. Sometimes it takes a bit of time. Hope in God. Don't complain. Yeah, see, God took so long. So long. Cannot wait anymore. Have hope in God. When you hope in God, whatever God has promised you, whatever significant thing God has wanted you to possess, you will be able to possess it. When you hold fast to both faith and hope, you'll be able to unite your past, your present, and your future into a meaningful and beautiful story because God is working behind each of our stories. God is the engineer. God is the architect. God is the planner. He's the organizer. He's the one who weaves our stories. But God requires us to have faith and hope, so that we are able to step into what God wants us to have. The last principle is that Jesus is our hope. We don't trust in things. We trust in God. But Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. The hope of all believers awaiting for his return, and the hope of creation waiting for his redemption. Bible tells us in Romans 8, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. The day will come. The groaning of the earth will stop. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. We need to have faith to believe in that. And we need to have the hope to step into that future with God. The new heaven and the new earth. Jesus is our living hope. He needs to be the one who is in our heart, giving us fresh hope, living hope. Hope in Jesus will produce change in our lives. If our life gets stagnant, our life gets dull, we need to hope in God. Go to God. The Lord Jesus is our living hope. When we have strong confidence in God, then God will produce changes in the way we live. God wants to give us that power. God is not a stingy God. He's a fresh God. His mercies are new every morning. God wants us to give us on a daily basis our daily bread. God wants to give us fresh dew every morning. When we look to him as our living hope, then that will produce power in you, and that will produce change in our life. Not only is Jesus our living hope, Jesus is our blessed hope. He's our blessed hope because he brings us to a hope that is eternal. He gives us eternal life. The best symbol for hope in the Old Testament is the symbol of an anchor. Hope anchors the soul. It's the symbol of an anchor because an anchor is put onto the seabed to make sure that it is sure, is unmovable, is unshrinkable, is unsinkable. So it's to put there to anchor the boat. If we can put our trust in Jesus like the anchor of our soul, then we will not be moved, or we will not shrink, or we will not be stopped. Just now we were saying we cannot be stopped. The reason why you cannot stop is not because we are so good or so competent. The reason why we won't stop and we are not sinkable is because the Lord Jesus is our anchor. I pray that when the waves of adversity or doubt or discouragement storm on us, don't drift. When the going gets tough, the tough don't drift. You just hanging to the Lord. You know, we live in a fallen world. This world has a lot of things that will come at us. You know, one morning you wake up, you're all so happy, and then something happens, and then you get all unhappy. This world has a lot of ways of putting dents in our lives, putting a lot of holes in our emotions. Oh, this world will do that. But anchor your life in the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't understand this, but help me anchor myself in you. Help me understand what it is. And just help me to just stay close to you. Because hope lifts your head high. Hope lifts your perspective. Hope lifts your spirit. And hope lifts your expectation. What is our hope level this morning? If it is low, you're in the right place. This is a place to recharge. God wants to recharge our hope level because God knows how important it is for us to hope, to trust in, to wait, to long, to desire, to believe that something in the future will be beneficial to us. God wants to fill us up. God wants to freshen us up. God wants to renew us so that we can joyfully expect and anticipate that something good and something significant is coming to you. Amen. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.